I just want to, instead of repeating the entire name of this project, let you know that this, what I'm going to be presenting today, is a component of a much larger project that hopefully the model will emerge as we go through the presentation today. I have no relationships to disclose, and hopefully that you'll come away with understanding a little bit more about the prevalence of overweight and obesity among rural elementary school children, and a measure that helps us to understand the environmental conditions that might actually affect overweight and obesity among those same children. And we know the obesity trends among U.S. children, and we know that rural residency increases the risk of childhood obesity, and that place does matter. Our model is a social ecological framework, and we do have one of the $5 million grants, and so we bit off a lot more than we can chew. We are working at three environmental levels: in the family home, in the elementary rural school, and in the rural community. And we are attempting simultaneous change in environments and policies across all three environments. Our outcome measure is child BMI. So we established baseline data over the past year, and we did that by first assessing BMI, and we conducted height weight assessments in six rural elementary schools across the school year. Our extension staff were trained, and they are embedded in the counties and in the communities, and participated with parents and other volunteers to collect these data. This graph shows basically our prevalence of overweight and obese by grade and sex. Boys are orange, girls are green. And you can see that while at kindergarten, the rates are slightly lower than the rates among all U.S. children ages 6 to 11, that in grades 4, 5, and 6, there are significant differences in an upward trend with rates as high in sixth grade as 44%. Oh, sorry, let's see if I can get this closer. This particular graph shows the prevalence of obese by grade and sex, and again, the same upward trend with significant differences between grades 3, 4, 5, 6 in kindergarten, and rates as high as 25%. These are obesity rates among sixth graders. So we know that the problem exists, and we are interested in finding out more about how changes in the environment actually affect these rates. Our goal is to stop the upward trend and to flatten the trend line. We know that schools are a site and critically important environments that have an impact on children's health behaviors. In the past decade, schools have made significant progress in changing nutrition and physical activity policies and practices, and we know that there is still room for improvement. Our model, basically, for this particular presentation, is focused on the school environment, and in order to establish a baseline measure for the environmental conditions that may affect children's ability to eat healthy and be physically active, we developed a tool that was specific to the evidence-based strategies that we would be proposing to intervene. Our tool was developed to address gaps in the existing assessment tools, to assess nutrition and physical activity context of the school, and to align best practice strategies for changing the context with assessment-driven actions. This image reflects our model, and basically our model establishes measures in three environmental categories: the physical environment, the situational environment, and the policy environment, across two particular contexts, the physical activity and the nutrition context. And in the physical activity area, there are 16 items. In nutrition, there are 11 items. And the tool works by using a variety of methods to collect data that allow us to create scores for either the physical activity domain, the nutrition domain, the overall domain, or each of the environmental categories. This is an example of what our data collection sheet looks like. You can see data are collected using either direct observation, interview, document review, or other forms of data collection, information gathering. All of the areas of interest and criteria require at least two different sources of information. On the right-hand side, identifies the typical informants that might be used to gather information. The description is basically the operational description of the item, and then each item is grounded with criteria that allow us to measure each component of that description or that definition. These are the examples of the nutrition areas of interest. You can see that there are 11, and I basically want to walk you through how this tool is used. So for each area of interest or each item, there are criteria that help us to measure whether or not that item is being met. So for this particular area of interest or item, the cafeteria meal service area, the description or definition is it offers a clean, pleasant, and safe setting with adequate space for eating meals. Underneath that description or the criteria in this particular item has six criteria. In this example, two of the criteria were not met. Those scores are zero. Those scores, either a one met or two not met, are assigned by trained auditors who are familiar with the tool, who spend a lot of time reviewing the documentation relative to the policies, and then do direct observation and interviews to understand how the policies and environments are supporting the practices. The audit is conducted by two individuals who operate independently. Once they've scored independently, they come to agreement relative to each criteria. Where they agree, the score stands. Where they disagree, they go back to the data and figure out where the discrepancy is and resolve the discrepancy. So a scored item is at 100% agreement. The final instrument is used to then provide information back to the school community, and the school community assigns priorities relative to each of the scores and the areas of interest. And those priorities are used to identify the appropriate best practice strategies to affect change. So this is an example of what our resource guide looks like. For every area of interest and for every criteria, we've matched evidence-based strategies and provide those as resources back to the school so that they can implement best practices in making changes in the environment. And within each of our areas of interest and each criteria, the actual web links are embedded in our tool, and so they actually can be trained to use the tool to dig deeper into the strategies that work and to see what's worked for other people or other schools. This is just an example of what the physical activity area of interest reflect, and you can see that the tool basically has integrated some of the tools that many programs are already using, but then I included some areas of interest or items that are indicative of the need to change behaviors in the school, like school gardens and how those gardens can be used for physical activity promotion as well as healthy eating promotion. So the applications for the SMPA tool, it allows us to assess the school resources in readiness to implement environmentally focused best practices. The tool can be used to plan and implement partnerships, programs, policies to change school nutrition and physical activity context. And the tool can be used to evaluate the effectiveness of school-level efforts to increase resources and improve practices that support students' nutrition and physical activity behaviors. The school is scored relative to language that school staff understand, and so 100% meeting criteria. That means meeting 100% of each criteria in each area of interest would be best practice, and that would be 100%. And scores can be calculated, like I said, for physical activity, for nutrition, or for the physical environment, the policy environment, or the situational environment. So we applied this tool. First, we piloted it and tested it and established reliability and validity. And then we used the tool to conduct assessments in 6 rural schools between January and February of 2013. For each school, the tool was completed by 2 trained extension field faculty in partnership with school staff and adult stakeholders in the school. This table shows the descriptive characteristics of our schools, and so they were fairly consistent, except 2 of our schools had a higher percentage of Hispanic students. All schools were eligible for free or reduced meals. This shows our baseline data from the SMPA physical activity and nutrition. So this is the overall, the physical activity component and the nutrition component across 6 different schools. So we have 3 control schools and 3 intervention schools. And you can see that the schools differ in terms of whether or not they're meeting best practices at every level. This graph shows the baseline nutrition environment assessments. And again, the green reflects the nutrition physical environment, the orange the situational environment, and the purple the policy environment in the area of nutrition. Again, you can see that the schools differ, but there's an opportunity for schools to improve their best practice strategies in terms of their environmental efforts. And this graph shows the physical activity environment, and again the same thing, that the schools differ, but there's still a ways to go. Once these assessments are conducted, this information is provided back to the school in a variety of modes. They get a written report that identifies where they're doing well and where there are opportunities for improvement. They also get PowerPoint presentations with the same information that can be posted to their website and sent out in a variety of different venues. And they receive a resource guide that has the web links to best practice strategies that they can use for their wellness committees and their school health improvement plans. These reports have been used to secure grant funding. They are capable of documenting school-level changes resulting from national, state, and/or district policies, and can be used to evaluate school wellness, health, performance factors, as well as practices. So from these baseline assessments relative to the schools, we know that rural students, overweight and obesity prevails, and there is an upward trend in overweight and obesity beginning around grade 3, and that the rural schools vary around their areas of interest, but generally fail to meet best practices, that the tool allows them to prioritize improvements to the environment that will make it easier for students to achieve weight-healthy behaviors, and that the schools do need resources to address areas of improvement identified by the SMPA. Oh, and so our slides are not animated right now. And so there's a giant big blob of money sitting right over in this really cool animation. That basically these are, and I'm sorry that they're hidden, these are the ways that the SMPA has been implemented over the past year. Between July of 2013 and October of 2013, that's not a very long period of time, We've been able to secure over $100,000 worth of grant funding directly to the schools to make improvements that they have prioritized as a function of the SMPA. These reports were used to argue for need and to secure funding, and across all three schools, they've received funding at farm-to-school programs, fitness trails on schools, playworks programs in the elementary schools, Fuel Up and Play 60 grants to develop community gardens and on school property, and I think a General Mills champion grant. And that's pretty much it. And I do want to acknowledge our team as well. Question?
Yeah. I have a question. On doing the assessment, is it linked at all to the Elder U.S. School Challenge so that the schools have an incentive? And the second question is, when you're looking at like the school or the cafeteria assessment, are you also looking at kind of a healthier school lunchroom position?
So yes and yes. So our assessment does align with other assessments that are used for a variety of different programs. So it is more comprehensive in the physical activity and nutrition domain, but then it doesn't address some of the areas in some of the other assessments. So it is very specific to the environmental conditions that relate with physical activity and nutrition behavior. It does have a component that addresses the school meal program, and the criteria within that are meeting the guidelines established for school meal programs both at the federal and state level. Did that answer your question? No. So yes, we look at what is served. Yes, we gather information relative to that, and then if the school meals are not meeting the criteria, then there are strategies to help them improve that. Other questions? Yes. I'm sorry,
Did you find the people who are going to answer the question?
Yes. So the auditors are trained to use the tool, and then they work with the school community to gather information. And so the trained auditors help the school staff, the school administrators, the volunteers to collect that information as they look through the lens of what's there and what's not. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Both at the district level and at the school level. Mm-hmm. We just did a practice-based training to train non-researchers to use the tools, so yes. Mm-hmm.